The next matter before this court is A21-1387 Minnesota Deer Farmers Association versus Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.
Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. It's May 26, 2022. Your panel is Judge Sarah Wheelock, Judge Peter Reyes. I'm presiding. I'm Lucinda Jessen. This is the third of three oral arguments, the third of six cases we have before us today. And the rules here are very, we're proceeding on zoom.gov, and the rules here are very similar to those in our regular courtrooms. Each of you will have 15 minutes for your main argument, and counsel for appellant, you'll have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. There will be, there's a block on your Zoom screen that there will be a clock there shortly, which will help, you can keep your eye on that so that you know how much time you have left. I don't anticipate that we'll have technical difficulties, but certainly if we do, let us know, or we'll let you know if we see them or hear them, and we'll stop the proceedings and try and work with to address those, because we certainly do want to hear all that you have to say this morning. I would ask you at the beginning of each of your arguments to introduce yourself and who you represent. We record these arguments and put them on our public website, so that way when people listen to them, they'll be able to identify who you are and who you are representing today. So with that, unless there are questions, counsel for appellant, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honor. I'm getting some feedback. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you fine, but if you're having, can you hear me clearly?
Now I can. There was feedback at first, but I can hear fine at this point. Thank you.
Well, if you encounter any feedback as you go on, just like, as I said, let us know. We'll stop. We'll turn off the clock and we'll try and
sounds good. Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Attorney Gary Lustico. I represent the Minnesota Deer Farmers in this matter. And we thank you very much for the opportunity to be heard. This is the third rule issued by expedited emergency rule issued by the DNR. The first time we were able to have this in front of the court, and we appreciate the opportunity. I think the briefs are quite extensive in this matter. Fair number of statutory sites and case law. If the court has any question, anything to do with the brief, please let me know. I'll try to explain. I wanted just to initially say that this case is not about pitting Minnesota deer farmers against deer hunters or anyone else that enjoys or appreciates wild white-tailed deer. Nor is this the case about arguing the merits of chronic wasting disease or the seriousness of that in the state as to both the wild population of wild deer and the domestic population of farm deer. This is a case where Minnesota deer farmers, just like any other farmers, try to make a living. And in this particular situation, CWD can cause great harm to deer farmers. It can result in loss of animals. They have to be euthanized. It can result in quarantines where the animals have to be limited to no movement off the farm, losing any economic opportunity. And it can also result in the deer farms themselves being quarantined the land so it can't be used further for farming of deer. So deer farmers take it very seriously. They have a very extensive list of obligations that are under state statute and rule handled by the Board of Animal Health. That is along with the United States Department of Agriculture. And there is a protocol in place. Deer farmers are required to do that. Veterinary checks, those type of things. So they understand that. And if CWD gets out of their farms, it can cause a significant financial loss for the farmer, loss of those animals. This is essentially a case, and there was a issue of mootness brought up by the DNR. The mootness panel then allowed that because of the issues in the case, the repetitive nature of these rules, the deer farmers would bring a action with the Court of Appeals. The rule would be vacated. DNR argued here it was moot. The moot panel allowed it to move forward because it is capable of repetition. It has repeated itself. As set out in the order from the mootness panel, there was recognition that the deer farmers' essential issue in this appeal to the Court of Appeals has to do with that there are two agencies and there is statutory authority that sets out what the Board of Animal Health is allowed to do. The DNR has statutory authority for principally wild animals, and the DNR has issued through their process expedited emergency rules. So what happened in all three of these cases with this rule, and we understand we're only bringing the last one, the last version of the rule, expedited emergency rule, to the court here today in this matter. But deer farmers have contracts. They're obligated to fulfill those contracts. Under the expedited emergency rule process, the DNR issues the rule. Deer farmers wake up the next morning. They're limited to what they can do. They have to breach their contracts. They lose relationships. It's not easy to redo those contracts.
Mr. Listigo, if I may, just in light of the limited time we have, I want to, and we are really here to look at the commissioner's authority or lack thereof to deal with this, right?
Nope, I appreciate that.
Okay, so in a very big picture way, you know, the way I look at this is the commissioner, I'm under 97A.045 subdivisions, you know, subdivision one, is given very, very broad authority. And it seems to me that a lot of your argument is, well, but that authority is limited by subdivision 11. Or we can look at the ability to do expedited rulemaking that the commissioner has. Again, broad authority. And you're saying, but it's got to be limited. And I'm sure you'll correct me if I'm mischaracterizing your position. And I'm like, my basic question is, why? Why doesn't the broad authority in subdivision one continue, even if there are other, you know, pockets of, oh, and here's how you do this, here's how you do that. When it comes, at the end of the day, isn't that a broad authority in subdivision one? Doesn't that answer the question about whether the commissioner has power here?
Your Honor, we don't think so. If you read subdivision 1A and subdivision 1B, and you take it in context, so the DNR makes a point in their brief and throughout this matter that they take this argument. Yeah, you have to look at the entire statute and you read it in connection with all of the other statutes that also apply in a case. And if you look at this, the subdivision 1 A and B, we argue, does allow the DNR, if there's a domestic animal, which farmed white-tailed deer are, that it does allow, if those animals are out in the wild, they're released, they escape, those type of things, then the DNR has authority. And in context, that's what these to subdivision one goes into. Now, the DNR rules are argues because there's an or they otherwise endanger wild animals, that consumes everything else in the subdivisions, everything else in the statute, all statutes that gives them the complete authority. As with subdivision 11 of 97A.
Yes, can I ask you about that phrase? And I'll let you get back to your answer. I apologize. That phrase, or that are posing a threat to wildlife, domestic animals, or human health. Right. Is it your position that that's ambiguous or that that is plain on its face?
Well, it's ambiguous the way the DNR is trying to read it around everything. If it's read the way the DNR claims, there would essentially be unlimited. I'd ask the DNR to try to put a red line in the sand, so to speak, where their authority would end. You know, we use the example of dogs, that, you know, there's wild canines, there's domestic canines, wild felines, domestic felines, there's wild birds, there's domestic birds. And if the DNR has this authority, that if there is an animal in any way that's domestic, and that animal in any way threatens wildlife, domestic animals, or human health, then the DNR controls that domestic animal. We wouldn't need the Board of Animal Health. We wouldn't need the USDA. The DNR could do anything and everything they wanted. And their argument in their brief is they don't even have to show there's a direct threat, that there's actually. So in our case, they never had to show. Their argument is that the deer that the stop movement applied to, which is all deer, domestic deer in the state, just because there's a potential they could pose a harm to a wild deer, that they can control all of those. It'd be the same if they did it, you know, in their brief, they talk about CWD as close to mad cow disease. Therefore, it would seem the DNR could control all beef cattle, all dairy cattle in the state. They could do an expedited emergency rule. Tomorrow, farmers could wake up with dairy cattle or beef cattle, and they couldn't move them, couldn't market them, couldn't do anything else, just because the DNR believes that it poses a potential threat. Can't be what the legislature agreed to. And if it's not ambiguous, the DNR, the legislature clearly indicated they didn't agree that that phrase was as broad, because after the first two of these emergency expedited rules were issued by the DNR, the legislature then amended Minnesota Statute 35.155 Subdivision 14, which allowed that the DNR had concurrent authority with the DNR. If the legislature believed that 97A.045 Subdivision 1 gave the DNR authority already, they wouldn't need to make it concurrent. And if they did think, the legislature did think it's unambiguous, they had that authority, they removed that authority by combining it with the requirement that what the DNR does has to be concurrent with the Board of Animal Health.
So Mr. Lustico, would you also then say that 35.155, kind of under what you just told me, is also ambiguous, so we have to look to legislative history? Because, I mean, because you were just giving me your explanation of that based upon legislative history, right? Well, the DNR, you know, because there was a lot of discussion, as I understand, I mean, or was there not? You'd correct me.
There was a lot of discussion between the deer farmers had a position, deer hunters, others that are interested in wild deer had a position, and the DNR combined domestic deer control concurrently with the Board of Animal Health. And our point with 87.027, which is the expedited emergency rule authority, that doesn't apply to the Board of Animal Health. They have a similar type of process. They can go to the governor and ask for relief. Otherwise, they have to do regular, you know, Rule 14 notice and comment rulemaking, which is our position. That's what the DNR has to do in this particular case. Otherwise, there's no limit what the DNR can do with domestic animals. They could control all of them by just saying they pose a potential threat, which I guess could always be potential.
Could I follow up on my, you know, broad language from the legislature, but then some more specifics question with this? Under 84.027 subdivision 1, the legislature statute says the enumeration of specific powers and duties herein shall not limit or exclude other powers or duties. You know, one way I think to read that would be kind of like, well, if you have those when you're looking at the broad duties and then some more specifics is, you know, the specific powers don't limit the broad powers. But would you give me how you would read that statutory language in connection with this
case? If you could just restate that cite real quick, Your Honor, it broke up for a second.
I'm sorry, I was muted.
No, that's fine, Your Honor.
Subdivision 1 of 84.027, it's the last sentence in that. And if you want to just look at that and come back to that on the rebuttal, that's fine.
What I understand the question, Your Honor. As far as shall not limit or exclude other powers or duties, and I understand if there's specific rules that provide a duty to the DNR. So the DNR in this particular case, they use 47A.025, which is the general overarching DNR authority that all of the animals in the state are the property of the state, and the DNR has been, by legislation, given the authority to handle that. If that was read in that exact sense, the DNR would have unfettered, unlimited control over all things in the state if it any way could impact wild animals. That's not what the legislature could have meant, because they would have given, we wouldn't need other agencies, we'd have the DNR. They could do whatever as long as it had to do with wild animals. So these statutes, if you read them all together, they do put in place a great deal of authority for the DNR as to wild animals. As to domestic animals, the DNR rules out and just waves away all of the statutory authority to the Bureau of Animal Health, which is provided by statute with the authority for domestic animals. If the DNR's authority would be read that broad, it would ignore the statutory process that has been set out with the Board of Animal Health. All of the deer farmers follow that. They welcome that. They're bound by that, and they have that authority. So right now, Board of Animal Health, during the time when these rules were in place, their authority said, deer farmers, you can move your deer as you are allowed under our rules. And if you're compliant, you can move them. The DNR is saying, we're going to charge you criminally if you do that, under the same exact thing. So there has to be a recognition that the DNR statutory authority has to be read in harmony with the authority of other agencies. It's complete chaos otherwise, but no one would know what to do. And in this particular case, once an animal is in the wild, affecting wild animals, be it domestic or not, the DNR clearly has authority for that. We don't question that. The statutes are pretty plain on that. Once an animal is domesticated in confinement, the Bureau of Animal Health has that authority. Otherwise, the DNR, the legislature put out in 35.155 subdivision 14 that the DNR is supposed to work concurrently. I will grant you it doesn't define what concurrently is. We've looked at that very closely, can't find another example where that's set out. But it means something other than a conflict, or one agency has total control with the other agency, or has no meaning. And canons of construction are every word in every statute has meaning. The way the DNR reads their statutes, as broad as they do, any statute conflicting with theirs, their view of the world through expedited emergency rule, where no one can even comment, no one can be heard, would just read away all of those other statutes. And so, and I understand your comment about legislative history. I'm putting my argument on 35.155 subdivision 14. But I think that it is a valid point reading all these statutes in harmony that if the legislature understood the DNR had as broad authority as the DNR argued, and they had already issued two expedited emergency orders at the time the legislature amended 155, then the legislature had to be, they're deemed under canons of construction to have understood that. And therefore, they issued that statute saying, okay, we'll give you concurrent authority, but you have to work with the Board of Animal Health. And working with the Board of Animal Health concurrently cannot mean in conflict, which is what we have right now. And I have 11 seconds left, and I will leave it to my remaining 5 minutes unless any of you have any questions.
Let me ask the panel. Members of the panel, do you have other questions for Mr. Lustico? Seeing that there are none, we'll come back to you for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Counsel for respondent.
Good morning, Your Honors. Special Assistant Attorney General Peter Cerdo, on behalf of respondent Sarah Stroman, Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. The white-tailed deer in our state are a vital and significant resource, both economically and culturally. In October of 2021, the DNR had learned of an outbreak of chronic wasting disease at a farm in western Wisconsin. Now, chronic wasting disease is always fatal, and if it becomes endemic in the wild population of white-tailed deer, could devastate it. The DNR acted using emergency expedited rulemaking authority to issue a rule that would stop the movement of captive domesticated white-tailed deer until it could determine the nature, scope, and extent of the outbreak that came from this farm in western Wisconsin. Now, it did so under two separate statutory grants of authority. One, 97A, and there's several subparts to that we can get to later. Sorry, I should have said 97A.045. And it also enacted, pursuant to new authority that the legislature had just granted in the most recent legislative session, under Chapter 35, which is Section 35.155. Now, 97A is the statute that governs the DNR and its charge to preserve and protect wildlife in the state. Chapter 35 is, in general, the Board of Animal Health's organic statute that determines everything from cattle to swine to poultry and the things that are domesticated and developed in the course of agriculture. In Minnesota, deer farming of the domesticated white-tailed deer population is considered an agricultural pursuit, but we also have a population of white-tailed deer that are in the wild. That's what the DNR protects. The DNR's rule, therefore, used both of these two statutes to issue this stop movement order in order to make sure that it could protect the wild population. Now,
if I could just, I wanted to get to the, we're familiar with the history and the background, and you briefed that fairly extensively, so we appreciate that. I wanted to jump really to the rules, and I wanted to follow up on a question that Judge Jessen asked in terms of the specific rules under Chapter 97A and also Section 35.155. I believe, at least in terms of 35.155, your position from your briefing is that they're not ambiguous. So we just look at the plain and ordinary meaning. Is that your position with respect to Chapter 97A as well? In particular, 1A, 1B, and Subdivision 11 as well?
Yes, Your Honor. The statute is clear, 97A at 1A, providing that the DNR is charged with protecting and preserving wild animals. That's clear. 1B, providing that the DNR can act to protect wild animals from domestic animals that threaten the wild population. That's clear. And even 11C, which provides that the DNR can act to prevent the spread of disease, is clear. Now, one of the significant disputes that is presented to this court is the nature and scope of what the threat is. And I would submit that this court does have a de novo standard of review for questions of law that are presented by an agency action, but also when there's particular issues that are committed to an agency's expertise and technical ability, those should enjoy some deference.
Here, we're not talking about deference about in terms of the issue that is the key issue that is before us, that's really just an issue of whether or not the DNR has a statutory authority in the first instance. So that's a statutory interpretation. For that, we don't give any deference to the agency. I think what you're talking about is if we do get to the other issues, that might come into play.
Right. Well, to be clear, 100% right on the de novo review of statutory authority. Where I was going with that argument was that because the statutory authority provides that there needs to be a threat, DNR is in the best position to assess what the threat is and what responses to take in response to it.
Let's table that right now, because I understand where you're going with that. Yeah. But, I think you argue in your brief that we don't even need to get to that issue. We can just look at whether or not you have the statutory authority. The DNR has the statutory authority in the first instance.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And so to that point, what I'm struggling with is even looking at the concurrent jurisdiction that has now been given to the DNR under 35.155, where is there in that any issuance of concurrent authority for the DNR to issue an emergency emergency order or emergency rule or an expedited emergency rule? The new 35.155 makes it very clear as to what authority is being provided, but also makes clear what authority is not being provided. So how do we get to that emergency rule if there's concurrent jurisdiction and the BAH, for that matter, doesn't even have that emergency rule or expedited emergency rule process that the DNR does?
Right. So if I'm understanding your question, Your Honor, you are asking specifically about 35.155 and whether or not the emergency expedited rule is authorized there. I've got two answers to that. And one is this rule wasn't enacted solely under the auspices of the subject matter of 35.155 farms, but also 97A. So if you look at Minnesota Rule 6232.0550, it says we're taking this action under both the statutory authorities and we're using emergency rulemaking to get there. So the authority already existed under 97A.
Can I stop you right there? And I'm stopping yes. only because I'm confused and I just want to make sure I'm clear. Because I'm looking at 35.155 subdivision 14, which goes to the concurrent authority.
Yes.
I don't see any reference to Chapter 97A there at all. So I'm
right.
A little confused there. So how does that work? Right.
Yep. No, I understand. And it is a tough issue. And some of it's an artifact of this is a recent amendment and 97A with the emergency rulemaking authority already existed. So if you look at, for example, chapter or section 84.027 sub 13A, that provides that the DNR can act on an emergency expedited basis to issue rules that will curb disease. Now, it does so specifically with reference to Chapter 97A, including 97A.045. The legislature, when it enacted 35.155, said that the DNR had concurrent authority for the entirety of 35.155, which is all of the rules that pertain to captive white-tailed deer, the domestic and agricultural resource. Subdivision 13 of 35.155 says that the Board of Animal Health shall adopt rules as necessary to implement this section and to otherwise provide for the control of certain diseases. If you take BAH out of that and put DNR in, now that it has its concurrent authority in the amendment that was added at subdivision 14, you could read that to say the DNR shall adopt rules as necessary to implement this section and to otherwise provide for the control of disease.
But that's not what subdivision 14 says. Subdivision 14 says under A, the Commissioner of Natural Resources and the Board of Animal Health possess concurrent authority to regulate farm white-tailed deer under this section, which is 35.155, yes. Sections 35.92 to 35.96, and any administrative rules adopted pursuant to this section or sections 35.92 to 35.96. And then the next sentence says, this does not confer to the commissioner any additional authorities under Chapter 35. And that's contrary to what you said, I think, other than those set forth in sections 35.155. And, you know, this, it repeats those. But there's no reference there to Chapter 97A.
Right. So the way that Subdivision 14 is written is the legislature did not want DNR enacting rules under 35 like bovine treatment processes on cattle farms or avian flu rules that would affect poultry farms, right? Those are agricultural issues that the BAH is tasked with enacting, and that would be specific to the agricultural pursuits. But it was giving the DNR authority to regulate and issue rules that would apply to deer farming activity. And it's doing that concurrently with BAH, but it's also doing that at the same time that it's aware that the only way DNR can enact rules is pursuant to its own organic statute, 97A and 84. And if you go to 84, that authority to do expedited emergency rulemaking to address disease is by emergency expedited rulemaking.
I'm sorry. Well, let's go to 84.027 then. That talks about how it refers to the ability to, you know, that refers to chapters 97A among as well as BC, but it talks about to prohibit or allow taking of wild animals to protect species, to prevent or control wildlife diseases. And then when you look at 97A.05 subdivision 11A, it specifically says powers to prevent or control wildlife diseases. It talks about how the commissioner determines that action is necessary to prevent or control a wildlife disease. The commissioner may prevent or control wildlife disease in a species of wild animals. That language is, the first part of that language is verbatim from 84 to 97A.05 subdivision 11A. And then subdivision 11C specifically says, again, the commissioner may prevent or control wildlife disease in a species of wild animal. And then it ties it specifically to 84 by saying, by emergency rule adopted under section 84.027, subdivision 13. So yes. Looking at it, there's an explicit cross-reference under 97A11C, subdivision 11C, to the emergency rulemaking. But that's completely absent and out of 35.155 subdivision 14. So it sounds like there's a link that's missing there, unfortunately, where the legislature didn't give the DNR authority to implement that rule implement it under an emergency rule or an expedited emergency rule. So I'm trying to understand, where is that gap filled in? Because it seems like there's a significant gap there.
Right. So I do agree that the statute is 35.155 is silent on how the DNR is to go about doing its rulemaking. But here, the DNR wasn't enacting the emergency expedited rule at issue in a vacuum. nor solely under the authority granted to it in the subject matter of 35155. Instead, it was acting as it had twice before under 97A, and because of the recent grant, it added in the authority of 35155. So the emergency expedited rulemaking authority pre-exists 35155 and exists independent of 35155. But if you view 35155 as a grant of subject matter authority, that is, that the DNR can reach in to agricultural pursuits to the extent that they're going to affect the wildlife, then when it's enacting its own rulemaking procedures to get there, to protect wildlife under 97A, it's got the authority to do things that impact the farming industry.
Okay, and just one final follow-up question there. So it sounds like, let's put aside 35.155 for a second. In terms of the authority under 97A, these all, subdivision 11, A and C, specifically refer to the taking of wild animals. There's no mention whatsoever of domestic.
Yes, right. And to that, Your Honor, I would say, remember that a statute needs to be read as a whole. Its parts need to work together. And if you read subdivision 11C, which provides that the DNR can control wildlife disease in a species of wild animal by adopting an emergency rule, with 1B, which says it can act to control domestic animals that pose a threat to wild animals, then it can act using 11C to engage in emergency rulemaking to prevent disease when the threat to the wild population is coming from domestic animals.
So if I may, it seems to me, setting aside 35.155 for the moment, this really comes down, correct me where I'm wrong, to whether the commissioner's ability to do expedited emergency rulemaking to prevent or control wildlife disease is or is not limited to the situation set out in 97A.045 subdivision 11A. Is that fair?
11C, Your Honor.
Well, 11A is the part that just, as Judge Reyes was saying, just talks about more about wildlife as opposed to white-tailed deer, right?
Right.
Farm deer, right. So, do you want me to have to ask that question again, or can you give that another shot?
Yeah, one more time, please.
Doesn't this come down to whether, setting aside 35.155, doesn't this case come down to whether the commissioner's ability to do expedited emergency rulemaking under 84 to prevent or control wildlife disease is limited to the situations set out in subdivision 11, 97A.045, or not? Isn't that the crux to this matter?
You could frame it that way to be sure, and the DNR's answer would be no, 11A is not limited.
So I understand it. You're saying no, it's not limited by subdivision 11 because we get to go back to 97A.045 subdivision 1. Am I understanding your position correctly?
Yes, Your Honor.
Which kind of gets us back to, do the specifics limit this very general, broad power given to the DNR? Fair?
Yes. I do see I'm out of time. Could I take 1 minute to, or I'm well, sorry, even 10?
I'm going to let Judge Reyes ask his questions, see if the panel has questions before we turn to your request for additional time. Sure. Judge Reyes.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge Justin. I do have one additional question, and it actually goes back to 97A.05 subdivision 1B. Because I note in the record that the BAH was actually notified first about the deer and shipped to Minnesota. Then they located and identified the deer on August 13th, 2021. And then the DNR was later informed, which makes sense because BAH is the entity that has authority over this. But it in subdivision 1B, it says, quote, notwithstanding chapter 17 and 35, the commissioner, in consultation with the commissioner of agriculture and the executive director of the BAH, may, you know, take certain action. Did the DNR act in consultation with the commissioner of agriculture and the executive director of the BAH in this case?
Yeah. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And is that in the record?
Yes, Your Honor. So in the respondent's addendum beginning at RA6, you will find a 2018 report from the legislative auditor describing in general how the two agencies work together. The record also includes in the range on the index that's specific to this particular matter, a series of communications between the BAH staff that was working on this issue and the DNR staff that was working on this issue. The DNR also consulted with USDA.
That's another Carson. So did the DNR tell BAH, we are going to implement an expedited executive order?
I do not know that answer to that question, Your Honor. Okay. I believe so, but I can certainly supplement with a specific answer. It certainly shows that they were consulting as they were developing what the response was going to be in the record for this particular rule. And that's the last entry in the index.
Okay.
Are there further questions from the panel? Okay. Thank you very much. Marshall, would you add another minute and a half to Mr. Listigo's rebuttal time, since we did go over the counsel for respondent? We'll turn to you then for the final word.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I think that questioning and the answers from the attorney for the DNR is very telling on their position on this and how they understand these statutes are read. And so in answers to your question, Judge Reese, the answer as to Section 35.155, Subdivision 14, and how that juxtaposed with 97A, the answer from counsel for the DNR indicated in 35.155, the legislature was saying to the DNR that we don't want you issuing authority, or the statute states it out clearly. The legislature doesn't want the DNR issuing rules having to do with domestic animals like bovine and other type of domestic animals. But the DNR is arguing in this case, they already had that, that 97A gave them all the powers over bovine, over swine, over domestic poultry, over any other domestic animal is their position because of this broad grant. Because if any domestic animal could somehow have an impact, even potential impact, on a wild animal, the DNR believes it has authority, but they acknowledge that 35.155 subdivision 14 is fairly to be read, that the DNR is saying you don't have any authority over any other domestic animal except for with white-tailed deer. And we agree that that is the way to read 35.155 subdivision 14. And as to your question specifically as then to how emergency rule and expedited rule fit into that, 97A.045 does cite specifically in subdivision 11C to 84.027, which is the only way the DNR would have expedited or emergency rulemaking. But 35.155 does answer the type of rulemaking authority the DNR has as to domestic deer, and that's in subdivision 13 of 35.155, because the legislature said, DNR, you can act under 35.155 and specifically under 35.92 to 35.96, which I think are fairly to be set out as the enforcement and the penalty part of under 35.155 or under 35. And then under 35.155, that the other rulemaking authority for the Board of Animal Health is strictly general notice and comment Chapter 14 rulemaking. And that the DNR now concurrently has that authority with the Board of Animal Health. I don't know exactly what concurrent authority means. I can't find a case that's on point. But it cannot mean conflicting rules. And right now, the DNR, their rule 62.32.0550, these rules we're talking about, this is the third iteration, almost identical basis the DNR sets out in the state register, is that conflicts completely with the Board of Animal Health, which is the concern the deer farmers have. And that is these statutes set out that there is dual authority with Board of Animal Health as to white-tailed deer, and it's limited, both BAH and the DNR is limited to general rulemaking, except for, it's not rule specifically, but under 35.0661, the Board of Animal Health does have the authority to go to the governor and ask for essentially an executive order to be issued if there's an emergency with a domestic animal. Otherwise, the Board of Animal Health does not have, and nowhere in Section 35 does the Board of Animal Health have the ability to do expedited or emergency rulemaking. And that is our concern in this place, that there's no opportunity to be heard by the deer farmers or anyone else. There's no opportunity to be heard by Board of Animal Health. And I, Your Honor, as to the question of whether the DNR, the commissioner or otherwise, reached out to Board of Animal Health or to the Commissioner Department of Minnesota Ag, I believe that the record is completely devoid of that. And the case law is quite clear that the only thing to be considered on appeal like this is what's in the record. I don't believe, as a practical matter, from my own knowledge, it's not in the record, that the DNR ever informed BAH that this expedited rule is going to be issued. And I think in the morning, BAH was as surprised as the deer farmers were. But
Mr. Lystico, on the
record. Yes, Your Honor.
So I have a question. I'm looking at the language of Statute 35.15, and I'm wondering if you can do two things. One is to point me to the language in here that limits the authority of the DNR. And secondly, I'd like to know if you're suggesting that we read this enactment as a limitation on DNR as opposed to an expansion of authority. Because it seems to me it could be read either way without looking at anything else if you just read the language of the statute.
I believe it's an expansion. I think that's the position of the DNR, as we heard today and in their brief. But the limitation of the DNR's authority under 35.155, I believe, is in subdivision 14. And it's the last sentence of that subdivision 14, where it says, this does not confer to the commissioner any additional authorities under Chapter 35, other than those set forth in Section 35.55 and 35.9.
I see that language, and I'm wondering why we can't read that to mean what your opposing counsel suggested, which is that the intent of the legislature was to provide DNR with authority as to farmed white-tailed deer, but not necessarily as to poultry or cattle operations.
I believe that's what the legislature did as to domestic white-tailed deer, with these limitations as to what that authority be with the DNR. And I believe the DNR of the legislature is clear as to the need to do that is because the DNR otherwise wouldn't have had that authority. If the DNR has the authority, as they state under 97A, it's unlimited without any type of control. And so the legislature gave them control as to white-tailed deer, but not the emergency or expedited emergency rule portion. And I see my time is up. I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Are there further questions from the panel?
I just had one quick comment and question. We'll certainly look at the record, and DNR counsel referred to the addendum that they included in terms of the information in terms of consultation. I think the language of the statute says consultation, doesn't say approval or anything like that. But I just wanted to get clarification from you in terms of how subdivision 13 of 35.155 applies. And I'm actually looking at the DNR's, when it rescinded the rule 62.0550 on December 6th of 2021. And at the very end of its explanation, it said that the DNR will work in cooperation with the BAH to strengthen rules pertaining to interstate and intrastate movements of farm cervids to further reduce risk of CWB spread into wild populations. Is that where you were going in terms of what authority, concurrent authority to implement rules under subdivision 13. Is that where you're going? I just want to try to get clarification on that.
I think where I was trying to go on that, Your Honor, is that the Board of Animal Health has rulemaking authority. It is General Chapter 14, notice and comment rulemaking authority, except for under 35.0661, which isn't a rule based, it's a request to the governor for the governor to issue an emergency order for stop movements or those type of things for domestic animals. Otherwise, Board of Animal Health simply has general rulemaking authority. They don't have an emergency or expedited emergency. And so under 35.155, my point was that the DNR can't claim, as I think your questioning was going, that they're somehow allowed to do this expedited or emergency rule process because of this authority that they now have concurrently with BAH. I think that was my point on that.
Further questions from the panel? It appears there are none. Thank you very much for the helpful briefing and oral argument. It was very well done. The court will take the matter under advisement and an opinion will be issued with